Morning. Our passage will be in John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. John 6, 37 through 40. And those verses read like this: All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given to me, I lose nothing, but I raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Amen. God bless the reading of his word to his believers. You know, back on October 14th of the year 1987, America stopped. Not because of an election, not because of any championship game, but America stopped paying attention to the ordinary stuff for just a little while. Because an 18-month-year-old little girl named Jessica McClure was playing in her aunt's backyard down in Midland, Texas, and tragedy slipped in without any warning at all. No one expected any danger, and no one imagined anything more dramatic than a toddler doing what they normally do on a normal sunny day. But then, suddenly, Jessica disappeared. Jessica McClure had fallen into an abandoned well in Midland, Texas. Jessica fell down about 22 feet underground in a shaft that was only about 8 inches wide. The nation at that time held its breath. Many of you in here remember that. And when rescuers arrived, they realized instantly, this wasn't going to be simple. This wasn't going to be a quick rescue. This wasn't even going to be easy by all means. And suddenly, that normal afternoon had turned into a rescue operation, watched by people all around the world. Firefighters, engineers, oil field workers, drilling crews, volunteers, and medical personnel, they all converged on that location because the problem wasn't simply getting Jessica out of that hole, but figuring how to get her out of there without killing her in the process. Now, this wasn't a job where somebody could say, well, let's just get the biggest machine and we'll start digging down. Because sometimes the biggest machine in the toolbox is exactly where you don't want it anywhere near the person who you're trying to save. And so rescue workers, they ended up digging a parallel shaft and then worked through the earth the solid rock toward Jessica. They had to drill towards solid South Texas rock. And according to the news, it took about 58 hours before she was finally brought out alive. At that time, the entire nation watched. That might have been the first time America watched live TV for something going on over a length of time. Television stayed on in restaurants. Schools would pause their classrooms to watch news updates on baby Jessica. Churches prayed. People cried. News anchors would whisper updates like they were speaking in a hospital room. Nobody said, well, you know, baby Jessica, she's just too hard to rescue. And nobody said, let's just give up. Why? Because one little girl mattered. And the operation consumed enormous amounts of time, equipment, money, manpower, and physical effort. But nobody ever looked at the price tag. and decided that an 18-month-year-old child was not worth it. The news described an extraordinary outpouring of donated equipment, labor, time, and money, with oil field workers even donating their oil field equipment and their time to rescue saving baby Jessica McClure. In other words, people who had never even met Jessica personally behaved as though her life mattered to them personally. And finally, nearly after 2.5 days, rescuers reached Jessica and brought her out of that darkness. And the whole nation celebrated because somebody who had been trapped underground had been found. And the story became famous because America had watched the rescue for the first time on live TV. But you know, God's Word, the gospel, gives us an even greater rescue story. Because Jesus didn't simply send somebody to rescue you and I. He came himself. So let's take the story out of Midland, Texas, and carry it into the pages of Scripture. Because there's times when the best way to understand what Jesus has done is to look what rescuers do when somebody's trapped. And if baby Jessica's rescuers refused to leave even one little child behind, imagine the determination of a Savior who came looking for lost sinners. So my first point is this. Jesus sees you in the darkness. Now, baby Jessica was underground where most people couldn't see her. But the fact that the rescuers couldn't see her clearly didn't mean that they didn't know she was down there. They knew she was there, and because they knew she was there, they kept working. You know, sometimes you and I feel that God can't see us, and because of the certain circumstances that we're in, it goes dark. But in the book of Psalms, chapter 139, verse 7 through 12, God enlightens us. Starting with verse 12, it says, he reminds us that darkness is not darkness to God. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, you're there. Even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and light around me will be night, even in the darkness it's not dark to you and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. You know, you can hide from people, but you just can't hide from God. You can lose your way, but you can't lose your location in the eyes of God. There's Peter's faith in himself failed. Many times you and I, we have the concept that if I have this strong faith, I got it. I'm good. But as Peter found out, he had to fall. God rebuilt his faith on the fact that Jesus Christ himself is our faith. And through Jesus, our faith in Christ is made strong. That's grace. Peter had self-reliance, overconfidence, but it failed. Peter's faith didn't fail. Peter's self-confidence did. Because Peter's faith in Jesus Christ never, ever failed. Because Jesus knew Peter's weakness before Peter even discovered it himself. And after the resurrection, Jesus went looking for Peter. He restored him on those shores of Galilee. Because you see, Peter's failure wasn't the end of his story. Because Jesus never let go of him. Maybe you have a Peter story. Maybe you promised God something and you didn't keep your promise. Maybe you failed somebody that you love. Maybe you did something that you still regret. I can just imagine Peter hated hearing those roosters crow every morning he got out of bed, because it always reminded him that he failed. You know, repentance is necessary in our life. Consequences can be real, but failure does not mean abandonment. Peter failed, but Jesus never let go. And if Jesus could hold on to Peter through his failure, he can hold on to yours and mine. Because the next beautiful thing that happens to Peter is in Acts chapter 2, where Peter's confidence is restored and his faith is restored, built on Christ now instead of his own. And he ends up preaching to over 3,000 people. Our next promise is even bigger that Jesus gives us. Point number 5 is Jesus does not lose his own. In our passage today, in John 6, verse 39, Jesus said, I should lose nothing, not the strong, not the weak, not the confident, not the doubting, not the young, not the elderly, not the person crying in the middle of the night, wondering whether God still remembers them. He says, I shall lose nothing. That's one of the most comforting promises in the entire Bible. Because Jesus isn't saying here, man, I'll really try hard. He's declaring what he intends to accomplish. You and I have been to enough funerals to know that life changes quickly. You've watched people you love leave this world. And in my line of ministry work, I lose count of how many patients I see who are no longer here just in over a year's time. You've watched children grow up. You've watched grandchildren become adults. You've sold houses, sold and possessions divided. You've watched photographs that you've had become more valuable because some of the people in them are no longer here. But if that person belonged to Christ, they're not lost. They were just carried home. And each one of you in here, I can just look throughout our congregation and see how many of you still have the testimony to Jesus that you never let go. Jesus is preparing to bring us all the way home, and he'll never let go. Last point is this: Jesus does not lose his own. In John chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus said he would raise his people up at the last day. And that means Christianity isn't just about surviving this life. It's about walking in abundance. It's about the resurrection. It's about the eternity. It's about the day when death finally discovers that it's been operating on borrowed authority. I mean, the grave does get to keep the body a while, but it doesn't get the final word. Because in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us that death is not the end for those who belong to Christ. One day, Christ will complete the thing he started. Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in us will complete it. Jesus doesn't start the rescue and then halfway through walk out. I mean, some products, you know, have been sitting unfinished, and projects have been sitting unfinished in my house long enough that they've been part of my, that they've become part of the architecture. I haven't got to yet. But Jesus doesn't work that way yet. Because when Jesus starts a rescue, he finishes a rescue. And so now let's bring the story home, because every one of us has some kind of well in our life that we've fallen into, whether you want to admit it or not. Some are trapped by guilt, and you keep replaying something over and over in your mind that Jesus has already forgiven you for. Some are trapped by the future, and you don't know what the next chapter in your life may look like. But remember, the whole may be real, but the whole is not your home. The darkness that you're in, it may be real, but darkness is not your destination. I mean, your circumstances may change, but Jesus doesn't. Your strength may even disappear for a time, but Jesus doesn't. People may let you down, but Jesus doesn't. Because we can face him boldly. and learn to say in our lives, you never let go. Now go back with me one more time to that little girl, baby Jessica, in Midland, Texas. She was 22 feet underground, surrounded by darkness, unable to climb out, unable to rescue herself. But above her were people who refused to quit, who refused to quit digging until they reached her. Now, look over to Calvary. Humanity was trapped in sin, unable to save itself, and Jesus came down into our darkness and took our place. He carried our sin, he died our death, he rose again, and now he makes you and I a promise, I shall lose none. I mean, we may lose our health, we may lose our possessions, or even our job. You may lose friends, you may lose people you love to death. But if you belong to Jesus, there is one thing you'll never lose. You'll never lose his hold on you and me. You know, when Jesus decides to rewrite our faith story through some event in your life, it's kind of amazing what he does. Because he tears it down. We spend a lifetime building on what we think what our faith is. Until something comes in life and just shakes our life to the core. Ask Pastor Adam what he did when he lost his job as a general manager for Garden Ridge. That time was a faith builder for him and his wife Cindy that they will never forget. And I saw Pastor Adam's faith grow exponentially during that time. And what was interesting is the whole while Adam was hoping that Cindy would grow in her faith, during that time of crisis in his life, Cindy's faith grew exponentially, and she lifted her partner up and held his faith during that time. It's an interesting story. When I lost my job last year, 29 years, what are you going to do? What's a 63-year-old guy going to do? Even when I get rejected for being a mailman, that was a hit in the face. But yet God rebuilds our faith to trust in him. Because we spend years in our lives with the faith that we think we have. And will it stand a storm? Will it hold up when you fall in a hole? And God sometimes, like Peter, and when we're afraid, you stay with us. And when we fall, you offer forgiveness. And when our earthly journey ends on this earth, you promise resurrection. Lord, I ask that you hold every person in this congregation today. Hold the sick, hold the grieving, hold the lonely, hold the discouraged, hold those who are afraid. And for those of you who have never trusted Jesus, draw them to yourself today. Let them discover the greatest truth of all. Jesus Christ came looking for them. We place our lives, our families, our future and our eternity into your hands. And we thank you that those hands will never let go. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Let's go.